Everyone is on a spiritual journey. Every single person, whether you're religious or not, we are all traveling a spiritual path. In other words, everyone is putting their faith in something. Everyone. And every day, we make choices that affect the direction in which we are headed. And yes, there is a direction that each one of us is headed, an eternal direction. And we're going to look at the words of Jesus that will remind us of that. But you see, here's the deal. Many people think that the paths we can travel are many and that all are equal. Let's see what the world thinks. Turn your attention to the screen.
I think that there is one God, and I think that there's just many ways to get to Him. Many ways to get to Him. Many ways to get to Him.
Do you think there is one specific religion that is right, or are all religions good?
All religions good.
All religions are right.
Yeah, I don't think one specific one's.
Do you believe that there is one true religion, or are all of them true?
I would say that there is not one true religion, but I don't know if all of them are true.
So I think it's really arrogant to say that, like, my religion is the right religion and everybody else is wrong, because how do you know yours is right? You could be, like, that's just what your parents taught you and how you were raised. How do you know that your neighbor doesn't have the right religion or whatever and that yours is wrong?
I think all religions are trying to get at the same thing, that answers that every culture is looking for and for higher meaning, but I don't think there's one right religion. No.
I think they're all good. I don't think there should be a set one, because everybody has, you know, every religion has their, you know, ups and downs and their own little different things that people can relate to, and some have some that people want and others don't.
I don't believe one religion is more equal than another. I believe that religion was created by man to help understand the being that's greater than itself, whether that be something that had created man or whether it been something that was just guiding man. It's something that man has created in an effort to understand it.
Well, I'm like non-denominational, which is kind of like Christian, but we read the Book of Mormon, and my best friend is Jewish. So, like, how would it be right of me to say, well, since you guys don't believe, like, Jesus died for our sins, that makes you a bad person? I mean, she's my best friend. I think as long as you're a good person and you contribute to life and everything, then whatever's supposed to happen in the afterworld, you'll get.
At the base of every religion is being a good person. And I think how it's interpreted by different groups is what changes.
Do you believe that there is one specific religion that is true, or do you believe that all of them are true?
I believe as long as they believe in the Lord, then all of them are right. But as far as one religion higher than the other one, if there's different gods, I don't believe in that.
Okay, what do you mean by the Lord?
Jesus Christ, God.
Half of my friends are Muslim. I'm Christian. They love to be around me because we can intellectually get into any conversation. I think that God, and I was reading a scripture last night, but I think that God communicates to people in the various religions. And I think that if you were brought up or raised and you believe in a certain religion, then yeah, you should follow that route to God. But I think that there is one God, and I think that there's just many ways to get to Him. Many ways to get to Him.
All paths are not created equal. There are all kinds of religions, but there are really only two paths. There is a right path, and there is a wrong path. And in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke of these two paths, each path with its own beginning, and each path with its own end. One way is heavily populated. The other way is traveled by few. So as we study, you can be asking yourself this: where am I in my spiritual journey? Am I on the right path? Am I heading the right direction? The question I want to pose, and you'll understand this question here by the time we get to the end. The question I want to pose is, are you narrow-minded? Are you narrow-minded? Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. We're in chapter 7, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. Jesus continues his sermon. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road or the path that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small or narrow is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So Jesus, in this passage, in the statements that he's making, reveals that everyone has a choice. They can either choose the wide gate and the wide path, which is the world's way, or they can choose the narrow gate and the narrow path, which is God's way. It's one or the other. Each choice, each gate, each path leads to very different experiences and very different destinations. So let's go through what Jesus is saying here. First of all, we see that there are two gates. Two gates, and only two gates. And everyone is walking through one of these gates. Everyone. The first gate's the wide gate. It's the first one we're going to look at. The wide gate. The gate represents the beginning to the path that leads to destruction. It's described as wide, and evidently it's a gate that allows many to enter through it. Many can enter through the wide gate with no sacrifice. So the wide gate is the easy way. It's how Jesus is presenting it. It's the easy way. Why is it easy? Because you can walk through this gate and not let go of anything. You can hold on to whatever baggage you desire and fit just fine through the wide gate. You can drive a truck filled with materialism, filled with prejudice, filled with pride, filled with hatred, filled with greed and unforgiveness and lust and selfishness through the wide gate. I want you to check out this picture. This is a truck over in Africa, and this is what a lot of the trucks over there look like. Believe me, I know. I've seen many trucks that look like this. I mean, loaded. You can't barely even see. I don't know how the driver can do this. I mean, look at all the stuff on there and all the people that are hanging out on this truck. That truck can go through a wide gate, and the wide gate will allow that truck to easily pass through it without losing any baggage, without removing anything from that truck. It will make it no problem through the wide gate. And so it's not surprising that most people choose the wide gate. And I use that on purpose. Most people choose the wide gate. They choose it because you don't have to change a thing if you're going to go through the wide gate. It's the path of least resistance. But Jesus presents us with a second gate. And that is the small or the narrow gate. And that second gate represents a starting point to the path that leads to life. And Jesus is talking about eternal life. That eternal life that begins today and goes on forever with God. But why is it narrow? What makes it narrow? Is there a purpose for it being narrow? There is. It's narrow because the gate requires letting go. It requires letting go of the past. It requires letting go of our baggage, letting go of ourselves if we're going to go through the narrow gate. This gate demands total surrender and total faith. Jesus says this in Matthew 16, later on in the Gospel of Matthew, verse 24. He said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, let me just paraphrase that in light of Matthew 7, what Jesus said. If anyone wants to go through the narrow gate and follow me, it's going to mean that some things are going to change. You must let go. I want to tell you a little bit, a story about an experience that I had in junior high. I joined a handful of other junior high students on a two-day spelunking trip. Spelunking. That's basically cave exploration. That's what spelunking is. And we were in southern Illinois. It was actually rather cold outside. I think it got down to freezing that night when we were camping, which may be another one of the reasons, some soul wounds or something, why I don't really like sleeping in tents, because that was a very miserable experience. But that's not really what I'm here to talk about. So we went spelunking. And so we're down in the cave, we're walking around, we have to crouch down a little bit, we have to go through a little area here, a little area there. There's a lot of huge caverns with all these beautiful formations down in this cave. It was very exciting. But then our teacher said, hey, we're going to go into a whole nother area of the cave, and we've got to go through that little hole right over there. And I'm looking at that thing thinking, you are crazy, man. I like got claustrophobia a little bit because, you know, my brother, who's about my size, we'd wrestle. He'd get on top of me. I couldn't move, you know, scares you type thing, right? And so you can be praying for me. I still deal with that a little bit. He's like, we're going to go through that little hole over there. And we're going to squeeze through that and get to the other side and continue our exploration. Well, you couldn't fit through there with your backpack on. I mean, you could barely fit through there with your clothes on. I mean, it was so tight. Let me show you this picture. Here's a picture. Now, this is not from our spelunking expedition, because we didn't have cameras way back then. No, I'm just kidding. We didn't have digital though. But look at that. Look at that, how she's just squeezing through that very small gate to the other side. That's what we did. But when we did get through there and then push our packs through, you know, as we were going, we were in this whole new area of the cave that we got to explore. It was glorious. It was beautiful. It was exciting, but we had to go through a narrow passage, a narrow gate. That's what it looks like. This is what Jesus is talking about. A narrow gate, a narrow path, a narrow way. You know, I've thought about this week. Why do people think that letting go of things is so bad? I mean, is everyone's life so great that, and everything so great about life that you just don't want to let go of anything? But people just struggle. They struggle with letting go of anything, even if it's dysfunctional, and even if it hurts them, even if it brings pain in their lives. I'll confess something right now. I have a hard time giving up diet sodas, and they're not good for me. They don't even taste that great. But it's hard for me to let go of diet sodas. Why is that? By the grace of God, we can do those hard things. We can do those hard things. Why do people shy away from letting go? You see, the gate we choose matters greatly, and it does require us to let go of things, to take off that pack, to take off that baggage, to let the old stuff stay behind so we can go through the gate and experience the new stuff that God has for us. But the gate we choose matters. It will determine the path we take for the rest of our lives. And so in light of this, let me return to that question I had earlier. So are you narrow-minded? You see where this is going? Are you narrow-minded? Which gate are you going to choose, the wide or the narrow? You see, the wide gate leads to the wide or the broad path. Talked about two gates. He also talked about two paths, Jesus did here. The wide gate leads to the wide or the broad path, Matthew 7:13, broad is the road or the path. Many people love this broad path. Why? Because they think they're free. Man, I'm on the broad path, man. I'm on the wide path. I'm free, man. That's cool. I can do whatever I want to do. It's so wide, man. I can just go this way or that way and everything's cool. I don't even have to pay attention to what I'm doing because the path, the road is so wide. You know, it's no problem. People love that broad path because they believe they're open-minded and progressive because I'm on the broad path. Wide path. Somehow that's intellectually or socially, morally superior or something because I'm tolerant of others. People who choose the wide path really love that whole concept of tolerance. And that's often why they would choose the wide path. But I want to just kind of talk about tolerance briefly before we get back here to the message. And I find tolerance an interesting concept in society today, because it's definitely not the kind of tolerance, meaning mercy, that is described in God's word. Tolerance of today is completely different. You see, the way I see that people love tolerance and need to love tolerance because they need people to be tolerant of them. In other words, people who are often tolerant of other people's sin and dysfunction are tolerant so that those people will be tolerant and okay with their sin and their dysfunction. But that doesn't help anybody, does it? Being tolerant of one another's hurt and destruction and pain and behaviors that cause brokenness, does that help anybody? Is it good to be tolerant of other people when they're doing things that are driving them directly away from the love of God and the will of God for their lives? It's not good. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Jesus said, hey, come to your brother in a very humble way and help them get the sin and the dysfunction out of their lives. Love them that much that you will help them deal with the things in their lives that are hurting them and that are hurting others. Anyway, that's my small rant on the modern day cry for tolerance in our society that just continues to foster brokenness and hurt and doesn't help anybody. But the people who like the wide gate love tolerance. Love tolerance. But the narrow gate leads to the narrow path. And the narrow path is a completely different experience than the wide path. The narrow path is sometimes called the difficult road. And everyone's like, whoa, difficult road. Yeah, sometimes it is. And it's called that in some of the versions. In New American Standard, and I believe some others, call it the difficult road. It's difficult because it does require us to focus and to keep our eyes on Jesus. In the flesh, it can be hard to focus. But praise God, we don't have to rely on our flesh anymore. We walk by the Spirit who guides us, taps us on the shoulder, straightens us back out, you know, splashes water on our face, wakes us up, and helps us keep our focus on Jesus and on the kingdom of God. Sometimes the narrow road can be difficult because we need to daily surrender control to God and allow Him to lead. And again, that's hard to do if we're walking by the flesh in an unrepentant, unregenerated state. That's very hard to do. But as believers, we don't have to live that way anymore. We can walk by the Spirit. We can grab hold of the grace of Jesus Christ. And we can choose surrender every single day and let God be in charge of our lives and lead us on our path to everlasting life. We allow God to lead and take full control of our lives. Did you know that God does things bigger, better, and faster than you do? Did you realize that? Did you know that if you come into agreement with God and let Him lead, that you're going to experience the bigger, better, and faster things of God and His kingdom? But that if you want to lead your own life, you're going to experience basically the results that you can produce? I don't know about you, but I want to experience the bigger, better, and faster things of God. I want to see the glory of God right now in the land of living. I want to see the big things of God happen. I want to see the miracles. I want to see the healing. I want to see love that this world knows nothing of, but that is there in Christ Jesus. I want to experience the bigger, better, and faster. And the only way that is going to happen is when I go through the narrow gate, leave the old stuff behind, and follow Jesus every single day of my life. Because He's the one who does things bigger, better, and faster. And all I need to do is follow. And when I follow, I get to be part of those bigger, better, and faster things. It's not hard. It's not complicated. But it does require surrender. It requires faith. And it requires Jesus. 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 Yet because of perceived difficulty, many still don't travel this narrow path with Jesus. They think it's too confining, again, too narrow-minded, or too religious. And I had this thought this week. I think it's interesting that being narrow-minded is criticized in our culture today, while being broad-minded is exalted, somehow thought of as the better thing. You know, you're so narrow. You Christians are so narrow-minded. You know, you need to be open-minded. You need to be broad-minded. But here's the deal. It is the narrow-minded. It's the one who has their mind solely fixed on Christ that is going to inherit the kingdom of God. It's the narrow-minded. It's the narrow-minded Christ follower that will have life and have life to the full. It's the narrow-minded one. It's the one who has chosen the narrow gate and the narrow path that will experience the glory of God, the love of God, and the kingdom of God in their life today and forever. It's the narrow-minded. So are you narrow-minded? Are you narrow-minded? Praise God. I love that. Yes, sir. So Jesus described these two gates. He described two paths. And he also reminds us that there are two groups. There are the many and there are the few. The many and the few. Many enter through it. Many enter through what? The wide gate. Many walk on that wide path. Why? Because it's the easy one. We talked about that. But here's the deal. Unless you choose the narrow path, unless you decide to go through that narrow opening, that young lady spelunking in that picture, unless you choose to go through the narrow gate and walk the narrow path, by default, you have already walked through the wide gate and you are on the wide path by default. That's where you are. That's your life experience right now. Only a few choose the narrow way. Jesus says, only a few choose the narrow path. And that's why Jesus gave us many warnings and said, choose me. Look with me at Luke 13, verses 23 and 24. Someone asked Jesus, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? He said to them this, verse 24. He said, make every effort, in other words, strive. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. That kind of flies in the face of easy believism, doesn't it? I mean, there's a lot of people who say, man, no, just chill out. It'll all work out in the end. It'll all work out in the end. And it will if you know Jesus. It will. If you've chosen the narrow way. The narrow way. Finally, Jesus reveals that there are two destinations. H.E. Fosdick, he's a minister in the early 1900s, he said this, he who chooses the beginning of a road chooses the place it leads to. It is the means that determines the end. So we have two destinations that Jesus is revealing here. Two gates, two paths, two groups. Two destinations. The first destination is destruction. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. This is the interesting thing. You know, there are people today that would think, man, that pastor is giving such a hard message. I mean, he's talking about people going to destruction and all these people are going to be going to hell. And I'm like, I'm just preaching the red letters, the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. This is what this is. But this is real life. You see, Jesus loves people enough to speak the truth. And we have to love people enough to speak the truth. And we need to do it in a humble, loving way. We need to do it from a place that we would be willing to lay down our lives for the people that we're talking to about this very message and this very truth, like Jesus did. But we need to speak the truth. This is the truth. There are two destinations. And that first destination for the people that are on the wide path, who've chosen the wide gate, is destruction. And Jesus is talking about eternal destruction. This is a big deal. Paul wrote of the everlasting destruction that is to come upon those who don't know God and who don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and who don't choose Jesus. It's in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. Everlasting destruction. John described this as a lake of fire in Revelation. A lake of fire. It's a sobering thought when we hear what Jesus is saying, that many people are on that path and many people are going to that destination. And again, I'll say it, it's no joke. This is the reality. You go out into public, you go out and you start doing life with people in the world, which I encourage everyone to be doing, because how will they know unless we go? Okay? And you will find that the vast majority of people in the world are on the wide path, and the destination is destruction. How does that make you feel? Should make you feel desperate. Desperate to introduce them to Jesus. Desperate. There's a second destination, though. The second destination is life. Come on now. Life. The narrow path leads to life, Matthew 7:14. This life is the everlasting life received at judgment. Jesus spoke of that in Matthew 25. It's the gift of God given at the end. Paul spoke about that in Romans 6. The gift of God, everlasting life, eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's given to those who've been set free through Jesus Christ. To those who've become slaves to God and to righteousness. To those who bear the fruit of holiness. To those who have given their lives to Christ. Life. Eternal life. And I want to say something about eternal life. It begins the day that you receive it. The day you receive Jesus. The day that you choose that narrow gate, it begins. Now, it's not going to look like today the way it's going to look when we're walking on the new earth with Jesus. And all things are made new because we're still walking through this new life in a broken world until the day. You know what I'm talking about? The day. But we can begin enjoying this eternal new life right now. Because we now have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is perfect. Unlike some of our, and like all of our earthly fathers, our Heavenly Father is perfect. His love is perfect. Come on. But again, I want to go back to that point. It's a sobering thought to think that there are many that are on that path that's leading to destruction. And I want that to impact you. I don't want to just gloss over that. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. Let's just get on with life. I'm ready for my, you know, root beer float after church to help support VBS. Shameless plug. No. I want you to think about that this week. Is that family member, is that friend, is that person, are they on the wide path or do they know Jesus? I want it to motivate you to first of all pray, seek the Lord, cry out for their salvation, and then ask God if He has some things that He wants to use you for in their life. He does. I will tell you right now, the answer will be yes, I do. For you're the salt and light. You're my child. You're my representative on earth, and I put you in community and relationship with that person because I want them to know my love, and it's in you. So go be yourself. And go tell them what you know. And that's Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. The one who has redeemed you in giving you a new exciting life. We start living that way, we're going to start filling up this place with new believers. We're going to start seeing so many people baptized. And we're going to start seeing lives and families totally transformed and changed. We're going to start seeing peace filling our neighborhoods and joy filling the lives of those that we're doing life with out there in our community. We're going to start seeing our town transformed as we do this. One person at a time, as the children of God. One can put 1,000, 2, 10,000. Look out. A church that understands that life is at stake here and will go out and bring the love of Jesus to a broken world. look out. It's good stuff. Jesus spoke truth. He has spoken truth. Yet our postmodern culture, supposedly our enlightened culture, they celebrate something called pluralism. Pluralism is the view that every person has a perspective on truth and that that perspective is just as valid as everyone else's perspective. In other words, truth is whatever you think it is and whatever you want it to be. So it's the false belief that there can be and exist multiple truths. However, truth, you see, it's always singular. And truth is always exclusive. And the broken world hates that. You heard, oh, it's arrogant to say that there's only one way. Well, that's the wrong way to look at it. It's not arrogant, it's just the truth. Nobody's trying to be arrogant about it. Just trying to say this is just the reality of it. This is the truth. There is only one way. Truth is always singular. Error is always multiple. For instance, this is a water bottle. It's only a water bottle. That is a singular truth. This is a water bottle. There are infinity of things it is not. It's not a frog, and I'm grateful for that because it would be a little awkward to be holding a slimy frog right now. This is not a car. This is not a tree. There is a singular exclusive truth that this is a water bottle. That's it. It's a water bottle. Society argues that that's narrow-minded. Well, why can't it be something else if I want it to be something else? It's too simplistic just to call it a water bottle and to put it in that kind of box. I mean, come on, be open-minded. Being open to many truths, again, is thought of as broad-minded and intellectually superior. But there is always a right answer and there is always a wrong answer. As much as you guys want this to be a hamburger right now, because it's getting close to lunch, this is not a hamburger. This is simply a water bottle. It's just a water bottle. Because here's the reality. There is only one truth. There's only one truth. And there is only one way. There is only one gate and one path that lead to life. Only one. It's exclusive. It's singular. There's only one. There is only one God. Only one God. His name is Jesus. And you have to know Him. You have to know Him. You have to accept Him. And you have to follow Him. Not just know about Him or have happy thoughts about Him. But actually take off the baggage of life. Surrender that stuff, your old self, yourself. And go through that narrow gate and follow Him the rest of your life. Because there's only one way. His name is Jesus. Before we finish today, I want to make sure we don't misunderstand the character of God. We got to always remember this, that God wants everyone to be saved. Because some people can read these words and go, oh, well, God just loves that so many people are going to hell. He created it that way. So all these people are just going to go to hell and just a few people. No, let's look at the character of God. Let's go to God's word. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is good, it says. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, this is good and pleases God our Savior who wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. It's the heart of God that everyone would hear the truth. And it's God's desire that everyone would choose the one narrow gate and know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It says in John 3:16, and everyone can say this together, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him. Whoever believes in Him. Whoever chooses the narrow gate and the narrow path shall not perish, but have eternal life. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some would understand slowness. He is patient with you. Check this out. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's desire is that everyone would choose his son, the one way, the one truth, and the one life. That's God's desire. That's why he sent him here, to be available to everyone who would choose him. The enemy wants people to believe that choosing the narrow gate, choosing the narrow path, would lead to some kind of miserable, boring, restrictive, void of joy and happiness kind of life. However, the devil is a liar. And he loves twisting things. That's why we're calling this whole series Living Upside Down. That's why Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And it's still every bit as powerful today as it was the day that it came out of his mouth when he was walking on this earth. He's speaking this because the world has it so twisted, and the devil does such a good job at robbing, killing, and destroying, and trying to take away from the people of God the kingdom of God and the promises of God, the wide gate and the broad path. Now that is what leads people into lives of insignificance and pain. You want insignificance? You want pain? You want hurt? You want brokenness in your life? You want to walk through life without a purpose? Always confused, feeling less than, walking around hurt, without forgiveness, without hope, without true peace, without a relationship with your Heavenly Father, without the Creator, then choose the wide path. Just choose it. And that will be your life. But those who choose the one way, those who choose Jesus, are the ones that get to experience and will experience real peace, real joy, real purpose, real significance, real forgiveness, real freedom, real healing, and real eternal salvation. Jesus answered and he said, I am the way. I am the gate. I am the path. I am the way, Jesus said, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I ask again, are you narrow-minded? Do you know the way? Is Jesus your gate? Have you passed through him? Is he your path? Have you surrendered? Is he leading your life? Are you following him every day of your life? Not just some happy thought you had years ago, but I mean, it's real to you today. Are you narrow-minded today? Singular focused on him, following him, surrendered to him. Is he your life? Do you find your hope, your joy in him? Choose him today. Choose him tomorrow and enjoy the amazing full life that is in him for all eternity. Let's stand up. Let's raise our hands to the Lord. I'm raising my hands to the Lord right now just as a physical representation that my heart is yielded to him, that my life is his. That I have given him permission. Lord God, I have given you permission to strip away those things that need to be stripped away. God, I choose you today and every single day. Holy Spirit, thank you for leading me and guiding me, for teaching me how to walk on this narrow path, for keeping me on it when I fall, for lifting me back up. God, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for teaching me to walk this path. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you, God. Lord, I ask that you would just use your words even right now to draw us closer to you. God, I ask that for every single person here in this room, God, that you would just use your words, that the Holy Spirit, that you would start drawing us even closer to you. God, that we would have your heart, that we would walk in the assurance of who we are in Christ Jesus, that we would enjoy the narrow path, the narrow-minded life, the singular focus life where you are everything, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you are our hope, that you're our deep desire, that you, Jesus, are our great expectation. Have your way with us, God. We raise our hands to you and lift them up to you, saying, have your way with us. We thank you, God, that your ways are good. They're so good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.